Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 84 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to you, the masses. The Geek Grills podcast is supported solely by our patrons, so please visit there today at patreon.com/grills. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12, and I'm here with my co-host Linda.
Hi.
And today our awesome grill friend Jackie Hearn is sitting in for the Jen while she's on her trip to Belize.
Hey, y'all! Jackie Hearn here!
So what have you girls been up to this geeky week?
I guess, am I first? Yeah. I'm sorry, I apologize. I was trying to tweet and get all of that out and everything set up. So, hey, I'm new here, so give me a break. I feel like it's geeky, but I have found this problem whenever I do a podcast. The lights get so bad, it gets way too hot. And then by the end of the show, I'm sweating. So I decided to create an air conditioner with a fan. So to add to all my redneck backgrounds items, I have a fan where I got some copper wire and a pump and a tube, and I pump ice water out of a cooler, and I can roll that around, and you can't, well, actually, I don't think it's on right now. I meant to turn it on, but so I'll be sweating. But it works, and it works so well, and I feel so amazed with myself, and other than that, I've recently just finished binge watching all of the Marvel Comic Universe films, 100% because of my love for Black Panther, and that's about it.
Sweet,
good old swamp cooler.
Yeah,
and the Christmas lights that have been up since Christmas. It's now April.
You know, I prefer to call them fairy lights because okay. Then they're year round.
There you go.
So I have another small plushie update.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die.
Because I'm still working on the super secret project that will be possibly shown sometime in May. Possibly.
Yes. Take pictures anyway, and we'll do that.
Yeah. So what I have this week is this super fluffy baby blanket that I was commissioned to make for a friend of my mom's who just had a baby. So it is so fluffy I want to die because it's made out of baby blanket yarn, and I'm just like, it's so nice.
That stuff is so soft.
I have you to keep are it... a crafty machine, girl. How do you do it?
I do this while I watch TV, so I kind of lose track of time. And this the thing about this blanket, though, is that it ate yarn. Like, it usually takes me two of the really big skeins of Bernat blanket yarn to make a baby blanket. This took, like, 3.5. And I'm like, where did all the yarn go? It's just eating it. But it turned out real good, and I'll be giving that to my mom to give to her friend on Thursday when I go see her, which, speaking of, I was helping my parents move this week. They have moved into their new house. They have downsized. It doesn't feel like they downsized, though, because the new place is, like, big and open, and it's really cool. Like, I like their new house, but, man, they were having issues with moving in. The seller was being a giant pain and really acting weird. Like,
that sounds like a horror movie beginning.
Yeah, like, I literally, like, so it all started when they went to go sign the contracts. And
oh,
the
seller. Okay. I was thinking with a C.
Oh.
It's like the seller's being weird. Eek.
No.
Creepy.
No, their basement's real cool. there's a boat door that my dad can just drive his riding lawnmower out of, like Batman.
Right on. Nice.
But no, they went to go, like, sign the contract, and, like, the seller's like real estate agent didn't put in that she had like a certain number of days to get out of the house. So she was upset about that, and then they couldn't do anything because they already signed the contract. And then like, so my parents had the trucks to get to move everything, and my mom goes over to the new place to make sure it's ready to go, and the seller is still there packing all of her stuff.
Awkward.
And it's like, I'm not going to be out of here until tomorrow morning. So my mom was like, okay, fine, we'll just pay the holding fee for them to hold our stuff in their trucks overnight, and then we'll move in the morning. And the seller was like, okay, great, that's awesome, you know, y'all are great, I'm going to introduce you to the neighbors, all that, you know, being super buddy. And then my mom gets there the next morning, like, with the trucks, and all the doors, like, the key that she had was to the front door and to the inside garage door. All the other locks were different keys. And the seller was like, I'll leave the bag with all the keys in it on the counter, but you should be able to get in, no problem. But they get there, the garage door is shut, and the screen door is locked. So my parents can't get in, and the seller comes tootling up in her little car and comes out, and mom's like, we're locked out. And she's like, I know, the money hasn't cleared yet, so I'm not going to let you move in yet. And I was like, that's not how it works. You signed the contract. It's done.
Yes.
And I was just like, I'm listening to my mom tell me this story, and I'm at work, you know, across town. And I'm like, do I need to come punch somebody?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, oh man, it was so, so weird. But they're moved in now and it's okay. I told her, I was like, you need to change your locks immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately change your locks. And mom was like, I know, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
But other than that drama, a cool thing happened, which is the Glitter Dice podcast, the other podcast I'm on. We just got interviewed by a new podcast that's going to be starting up in June called the RPG Cast. It's a placeholder name, so TBA, the real name of this cast. But they're like getting a bunch of interviews for women casters and queer casters and people of color and all that. And so they're going to be starting up theirs like in June. And so we'll be on there.
Oh, excellent.
I totally plugged the Geek Girls while I was on there. So
right on.
That was my full week.
Well, I went out on Saturday. They had a Pokemon Go event, a community event, and it was a special Bulbasaur. So there was like for 3 hours, many, many, many Bulbasaurs and shiny Bulbasaurs. So, and if you evolved all the way up to, Venusaur, Ivysaur, during that Pokemon would get a special move that you could only get by evolving it during that event. So me and, you know, I hung out at the Caldwell Park / cemetery area where me and my raid team spend a lot of time because it has a gazillion stops. And everybody lured all the stops. And it was a nice enough day that most of us were walking around in groups for most of it. Like, I'd walk around for an hour and then my phone would be dead, so I'd plug in and drive around the park for a little bit, and then walk a little bit. So, right before it started, I discovered I already have a, like, 97 IV Wonder Ivysaur ready to evolve. So it took me, and enough candy that it, with one catch, I could evolve to get the special move. Cool. And then, during the rest of the time, I got enough, I got a shiny, which was another great goal that now I can evolve to. And then I got enough candies to evolve it to a shiny at its third evolution. And then I got my husband to come over for a little while. And we got a shiny for his account. I got at 1 minute before the event ended. He had come and gone. And I switched to his account because I was like, I accomplished what I wanted. He went out during the last one because I had a meeting with the LGBT caucus and got the Dragonair for me. So I was just going around and catching and trying. And I got him the shiny and it was like $4.59. So I did that. It was really nice to be out with it. We had at least 30 people because we did a raid while we were there. When we first got there, there was a Lugia raid right there at the gazebo, and we were able to split into three separate raid teams to do it.
So, you know, I definitely loved the game when I guess when it first came out, I was using it regularly, but I guess I was sort of in a place where I didn't really like even feel safe going out my front door. So, it kept me from getting around as much, but I definitely, if you do this in some kind of community, I feel like that would be so much fun.
It really is with people. And, you know, we have a little Facebook group and we connect and it's like, hey, there's a two going on at the same time. So if we pop a lucky egg and go from one to the other and they're close enough, we can get extra experience. And then at night, and like the group is named Raiding Mofos, like at night, it seems like half the group gets drunk and just chats at each other in the evenings. So it's really cool.
Very nice.
And it's such a wide variety of people. I mean, young kids and then people my age. And then we have like a whole contingent of little ladies that play. And it's awesome.
And I mean, that's the number one great thing about that game as opposed to other games. Like, you know, I play a lot of, different, or over the years I have, not so much lately, but a lot of online games, MMORPGs and stuff where you don't really know who you're talking to. And then you talk to someone, you play in a team or whatever with them for a couple months. And then all of a sudden you find out, they're fascists.
Yeah.
Or something, something slips or something comes out and you're like, oh God. But yeah, I mean, when you're face to face like that, I don't know. I just feel like I would feel more secure.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's like me and my friend Kelly, like we were each other's kind of accountability buddies while we were walking around. Cause it's just the two of us, but you know, we were able to kind of keep our eye on each other and be like, don't go on the road. Cause Kelly and I were both, back before they had the safety restrictions, they'd be like, it's over there. It's like, no, stop. I know it's over there, but stop. And also, you know, it was good to do it with somebody. And it was just a kind of a really fun way. I mean, we're going to try and get back into it, especially when we get to the Grapevine, because there's a thing in there about
news.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, and the safety stuff is interesting. Neither of you were around for long ago. We did a show and I talked about it, but I had done a, there's an adults and teens who are on the autism spectrum group locally, and a bunch of them play Go, and a friend I know who's connected who started that support group asked me to come and teach them. So we did an event where I walked them around, I showed them, you know, things about the game and, you know, the whole safety issue, because there's that radius, like, that you have to catch it. You don't have to go out in the road, and being aware of your surroundings, which can be especially important with a group that is so hyper-focused when they're doing something like that. And it was really interesting, and I have a son who's autistic, so I get stuff, you know, you can tell them to spin something, like you spin the stop, right? It's a swipe. But one of them, David, kept doing this. And
right.
I was like, well, okay, yes, yeah, spin, he took literally as a circle, and it looks like a circle, and I had to explain to him.
That makes sense.
And,
yeah.
But I could catch it right away, because those are the kinds of things I know to watch for. So what else? The super fun this week. Oh my God, I can't believe you weren't there, Jackie. Mike TV has been doing, and I know, Linda, you know that the Paleos file song, right? That was chat written. Well, he's been doing a chat writing a song thing again. So,
oh, good.
Fun.
And he is, oh, he's so much fun. And I just love it. So the new song is called Soul Food. And it's about a guy who goes to the crossroads and he's looking for the devil. And the devil shows up and then he wants a sandwich. So we've got verses and verses and verses of chat contributing to what is on this sandwich. And so many of my suggestions were taken into the song, and that was super exciting. Like, you know, Father Odin's pickled eye, slice it thin, and you know, like unicorn blood, but just a trickle. And I mean, it was, it's a crazy sandwich. Weasel Wang pickles. Yeah. So lots of fun. I'm not sure exactly when that album is coming out, but it is being worked on now. He's also working right now on his stream on going through his entire previous catalog of songs, which is good watching. And he's on most nights a week. You can find him at Mike TV Live. Mm-hmm. And the song coming up is Soul Food. And he is actually registering every single one of us that was in the chat participating with BMI and ASCAP. So we're going to get songwriting credit.
Aw, yay!
He's a great guy. And he's got a really good voice. And like a lot of the music that I know that has influenced him, it definitely was an influence of mine, like, you know, Guided by Voices and Pavement and stuff back in the day. So, yeah, yeah, that's really exciting. I am very sorry that I've missed out on that. Where have I been?
I don't know. Well, I met him at Nerdtacular last year, and I came home and was telling my husband, I'm like, oh, this musician, and he was so great. He's like, he's pretty, and he's got soft curls, and he has, like, this angelic voice, and then he sings filthy, evil shit half the time, yelling, fuck, you know, and it's like, I just love him.
So. People aren't aware of it, but I did do one video of him, a sock puppet video of him and Justin Robert Young singing Mastex, I believe it was, or with Leo Laporte at a Twit New Year's Eve thing. And, but anyways, it was all Mike did was just play guitar. Well, you know, but anyways, it was fun.
So I guess with that, it is time for the Geek Grapevine. So do you want to talk about the Pokemons now, Linda, or should I talk about the Pokemon?
Well, I mean, we can both talk about it. Let me get it pulled up here. Hopefully Skype won't close again, because that would be stupid. Okay, here we go. Yes, so I found this article. It was actually on my Facebook feed, because a bunch of my friends still do Pokemon Go too. So they were like, here's this new thing coming up. And I was like, this is the thing that will get me and Kelly back into doing this for fitness and also fun, but a lot of fitness and getting outside. As soon as it warms up, that would be nice. So I believe they're doing a thing where it's got a story structure, sort of, but you're going to be able to do like research and get special things from doing research, and you're able to do it like multiple times a day. So that looks very, very interesting. It's got like missions.
Yeah.
Like the one that they have on the article says like the mission is like catch a dragon type Pokemon, win 3 gym battles and win 3 raids. And then it's like that's part of your research progress. So I am super interested to see where this goes.
Me too. I'm waiting to hear a lot of rage. a lot of the players that I play with, I mean, they are desperate for trading. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have been from the beginning, from PvP battles. I mean, they put genders in the game, but never put in breeding. And there's a lot of stuff that hardcore regular Pokemon Go or Pokemon game players want, and this is none of that, unless
yeah.
you're in the anime too, and then at least it's story.
Yeah, and it does. It says that these unique storylines, it'll include discovering the mystery behind the mythical Pokemon Mew. So it looks like there's going to be some dialogue, perhaps, or just some like more information
maybe
put
into the
Pokedex.
A certain amount, it starts popping up for you, or you maybe that's how they'll distribute the EX passes for those raids, mm-hmm. instead of just. You happen to go to the right raid of that gym, so you get a pass for the next one there. Maybe they'll open it up to people who have done X number of quests, because they can still tell what area you're in.
Yeah.
Except for cheaters.
Cheaters.
So I just got a text message with breaking news.
Says, really?
Jadzia Dax has married Spock's son. So, there we go. Star Trek star marries Leonard Nimoy's son. Wow.
Well, congratulations.
Leonard Nimoy and Terry Farrell got married today at a civil ceremony in City Hall in San Francisco. Today is the birthday of Adam's father. Oh, this was on the 26th, though. Yesterday. So this happened yesterday. But breaking for me, that's nifty. Yeah.
I didn't know his birthday was so close to mine. My birthday's tomorrow, so.
Oh, I didn't know that. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, happy birthday.
Well,
happy
birthday to me. Elton John's birthday the 26th, too?
You know, and the older you get, like, your birthdays don't just last one day. They're usually, like, a week.
Yeah, like, when I go, I'm going over to my parents on Thursday to see how they're doing, and my mom is like, your birthday's going to be Wednesday, so what do you want for dinner, for birthday dinner on Thursday? I'm like...
Exactly.
Lasagna? I don't know.
So I think I put this one in. Netflix has picked up another season of The Toys That Made Us.
Yes.
And that made me very happy. I love that
awesome.
Show.
I really dig that show. I'm all about nostalgia and some of the old toys. So very excited. But so go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, and I just want to give another shout out to the awesome producers of that show, because when we talked about it before, they were kind enough to give me permission and even send me the MP3 file to use the theme for that show in that episode. They were amazingly responsive. I just, like, threw it on their Facebook page saying, hey, is it okay if I use this? And they were just on it, messaging me, asked for my email. They were fantastic.
Interview. Can you get I don't know. Like, maybe. It just seems that... They would also be very responsive to podcasts in general. It seems like that this is their realm. This is their kind of world. You know, these are the people that want to care about their show. So anyway, sorry. That's
and
really
we're,
exciting.
And we're a money spending demographic now, too, with kids we're buying toys for. So, yeah, that's I have to find out when they give a date that it's going to drop. And then maybe make the pitch to have someone come talk about it to promote the premiere of the new season.
Yeah. That'd be really cool.
So wish us luck,
everybody. If we can get that.
and follow us, please. If you're in the Twitch now or you're seeing this later, please follow us. We are trying to get the new channel to, and I know I keep nagging, but we got to get up to 50 followers. My channel got up to like almost 100, and then we moved. So it's kind of starting again. So send all your friends here. Follows don't cost anything. So help us get there.
Yes, definitely. Please. I'll spread the word too. I totally understand that. Starting over, it's a tough decision to do, but sometimes you just got to go ahead and just do it.
It's the best thing for the brand.
Right.
I wanted to do it a long time ago, but the affiliate path didn't even exist then. And then we had a period where I was the only grill left for a little bit. And it might have been only me. And I didn't even know if I was going to continue the show. And in the jumping on top of everything and just like... I'm just going to do it. I just started doing it. I went hyper spaz. Like, I went into manic mode, like, to convince myself I needed to keep going when I didn't know if Jen could come back. And I moved the server, and I started working on the website. And I was like, we're just going to start doing it live on the internet. And I'll just use my channel. I'm already affiliate. And I jumped the gun on that. So excellent. This is where we should be. And, actually, I'll go ahead and I guess mention it. I am looking for ideas. Feel free to email the show to get through to me if you have ideas for my own show, because I want more content for mine. The first thing I'm considering is a Monday morning show. Kind of like, I don't know, think about calling it Fuck Mondays, because Mondays are bad. They're so hard to get started again, right? I mean, and yesterday I was and it's the only day my husband reliably goes to the office. Like, I can't usually just podcast during the day when the kids are at school because he's sitting here working. But on Mondays, he's gone. and I could do that. And it would help me jumpstart my week, get some interaction, get some positivity before morning stream starts, because that's not until noon. And I need to get my act together on Monday mornings. So that's my first idea.
Yeah, or you could call it, like, I hate Mondays, and then spoof that song. Get somebody in our community who writes music to spoof the song, even though that's a really, like, it's based off a really tragic thing, an actual shooting or something. But anyways, yeah, that's great. I love it. Do it.
So, Christina Aguilera?
Oh, God. See, you guys put me to shame. Because you actually did some real geek stories. In a way, I feel like this is geek for women in particular, because apparently breaking news. Can we get that breaking news music again? Breaking news. Christina Aguilera took a photo without makeup on. And for some reason, CNN and other news organizations covered that.
Gasp.
I mean, it's just I'm sick and tired of women in the entertainment industry that, like, it's not that other people are talking about her. It's that she set this up purposely. She's doing this thing. Her comments about it were so sexualized that I'm going to get stripped down to my bare minimums, you know, whatever. Like, she's using it. She's using it as a tool. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but why are news organizations covering this? And so then I guess, therefore, why am I covering it right now?
Yeah.
I guess it just kind of makes me a little sick because, you know, I think I started tweeting breaking news. I went to Trader Joe's without makeup. You know, like, I mean, who cares? Who really cares? So enough attention to that. But it's just, I don't know. I had a really great discussion with you guys last time about women on the internet and being a woman on the internet. And, like, I think, you know, all these people do. They're just kind of making it just because she looks beautiful. Of course she does. But who cares? Who cares if she looks beautiful or not? That shouldn't be... anyways, all right. So, yeah, enough attention. Enough attention to that. So, please, America, media organizations, can we stop talking about the way women look? Sorry. Thank you. That's I'm off.
Yay.
So, Bob. Okay, thank you. You guys had these cool stories at Pokemon Go, and I'm like, Christina, like, I don't even listen to her.
You're still, you know, it's still okay to have the opinion of stop milking this.
Yes.
People
thank
go,
you.
Women go around without makeup all the time. What is the point of all that?
I'm not wearing any exactly. Right now. Live on the internet.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I do have a little eyeliner, but that's because I'm like, you know, my eyes are puffy. So, but yeah.
Nightbot is not behaving. Oh, well. That happens. I'll look at it later. Okay, so on to our main story. We realized that Jen was going to be gone this week. She left today. Hopefully I hear she gets there safe. And when it was like, well, hey, let's have Jackie come in. It's like, yay. And then, oh, we can talk about crafty things. And I was like, that's perfect. So many crafty things. And you guys are so... I was like, you guys are just, I'll host because you guys are way more crafty and I'll have more to talk about. And I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, I do a bunch of crafty stuff. I the Josie ears from my Josie and the Pussycats cosplay that I wore to Nerdtacular, I made those. I did a cosplay piece someone commissioned from me the first time, like this craft foam crescent moon headpiece for somebody. I sew, and I don't do much. I mean, it's not very complicated. I make, like, dice pouches and drawstring bags and hair bows.
So cute.
And then I was like, you know, I totally forgot to make jewelry. And that's, I know, weird. But I don't have any showing right now. I've had jewelry. I used to do craft shows. I've been in galleries. Would carry it for a while. And this is like a particularly nerdy piece that I made a couple years ago. This is a bracelet that is based on, in World of Warcraft, I had a favorite staff. And it was the Chillwind staff. So it was a staff that had like a rose vine wrapped around it. And when you would walk, and it had a skull on it. And when you would walk, like, there was animation where like rose petals would be trailing behind you. And I loved this thing. And it was like pre-transmog. So you couldn't, I just out-leveled it, and I sat in my bags, and I ran out of bags, and I threw it away, and then Transmog came around. I was like, oh my god! So I like wrote to World of Warcraft, and I was like, Blizzard, help me! And they're like, oh, we can't recover it, threw it away. I'm like, no!
Oh.
And I just couldn't get it, and I was like, I'm not going to level a whole other tune for it, you know. But then they did change things.
So you made one!
So I made one. It's beads, for those in audio. There's skulls and roses and little glass leaves, and I made the Chillwind bracelet. The first one I made, I gave away because I made it, and then this kind of the day I was done, one of my best friends, her husband was killed in a motorcycle accident, so I was driving up there for the funeral, and I was like, she needs heels. And my druidy self was like, so I gave it to her.
My heart.
That's great.
Made my own and I posted it online, and there's only been three made ever. The third one was commissioned from someone on Facebook in a World of Warcraft group who wanted it for his wife's anniversary present because it was apparently also her favorite staff. It's funny how we fixate on things. I've made a lot of jewelry and a lot of different things in my life, and I give away, I think, is more than I've ever sold. But it also helps me with I won't hoard because I can go treasure hunting and find cool things and beads and salvage things and fix things that I find in a garage sale, but then put them back out of the house, whether I've donated them to when Haiti got hit with the hurricane, I auctioned one for relief.
Oh, wow.
There was a local dog that got in an accident. We helped raise money for that. I do crafty stuff. And you guys do amazing stuff. And I'd like to talk about what you guys do and also a little bit about, I'm sure, I know Linda does.
Let's talk to the person who's crafting right now. Don't talk to me.
I want to know about commissions and your standards for that, because I think that is something that could be helpful
to
the audience.
Constantly.
Like anyone who is crafty, who wants to sell their stuff, you could really be taken advantage of by brick and mortar places, even though they're doing you a favor. So I think how the do's and don'ts of commissions we've learned might be useful as well. So I guess I'll talk to Linda and then Ad Dragon Manicure Lady. So,
well, okay. So rule number one, if you're doing a commission, is don't undercharge for your time. I'm trying not to charge super like too much because there's a fine line between people that love the craft and they're going to buy it like definitely to, even if they love it, it's just a little bit too much. So you have to kind of find that, but don't shaft yourself for your time because that's the biggest resource that you're using. Sure, you can get for crafting like my yarn, my soft crafts, I can get the yarn on sale. I literally have so many coupon apps that I never buy anything full price at Joann's. But you know, even if the yarn's on sale, you know, I try to do, depending on how technical it is, like one or two times price of materials. It really depends on how intricate it is. Like that, the baby blanket, for as big as it looks, it actually doesn't take me that long because of the pattern that I use. So that the baby blanket's only 40. And I know some people are going to be like, oh God, $40. Well, it did take me time and it did take me energy.
I think that's a very generous price.
Yeah, honestly. Me too. I mean, time is, it's really easy to undervalue your own time. You look at materials costs, and even if you double it, like, oh, it's 100% markup already or whatever, but the time is...
And you're not buying the same one that everybody bought at Target, because Target's everywhere, you know?
Right.
You're not buying one that's, you're buying a very unique thing, And, you know, and especially if you're looking for gifts or things that you want to share with someone else that actually has some sort of meaning.
It's easier when you're at like craft fairs, because people coming into a craft fair kind of expect that everything's going to be a little bit more expensive than something from like Target.
Well, your audience in that case is looking for bespoke items.
It's the same with conventions, actually. Mm-hmm. And especially over, I found in Artist Alley, as opposed to the vendor booths, because they're two separate things in most conventions, is that Artist Alley, it's kind of expected that it's going to be like, if you look at something and it's like $20 and you're like, why aren't you've made this? What?
I don't know what that is. Hmm? Artist Alley. I don't know what that is.
Dry throat.
Just like an Etsy type thing.
Part of farmer market type things.
No, in the convention sound here, at least, it's where, you know, you get your paintings or your sketches or things for that they've made in the places in like Dragon Con and Momo Con. They also have parts of Artist Alley that are for soft crafts. There's less of us, so it's easier for me to get a spot than it is an ink and paper artist, because there's a whole lot more of them. Whenever, you know, it's like I've got my booth and I'm very, very thankful that I'm able to get my booth at Artist Alley in Artist Alley, because I know that it's hard to get one depending on your craft. So,
and that's another thing when you're considering pricing for your items, because you got to get all that stuff priced before you go, and you're doing a high volume. So, and you know, you're going to probably sell more, so you'll make some of it back quicker, but you have to take into account what you're paying for the table, what you're paying to do any promo items that you're going to be given away, and work that into the price of other things. I had space in a couple times in galleries downtown, and one place, they're closed now, wanted 50-50 for commission. I'm like, no. I mean, your store is really overcrowded for one thing. So I'm not getting some kind of prime space. I am giving you merchandise to put in your store. I did do 70-30. 60-40 is about as far as I'll ever go. But, I mean, I should be getting most of the money, because I'm providing the labor and the materials. And, I mean, it's something that draws people to their store in some ways. Because I produce high quality items. There's a lot of things I'm really particular about with jewelry that some people don't bother with, like covering all my, you know, crimps. And pricing was hard in those places too, though. I had to charge just to not undercut other artists. And I don't know how you do that at a big convention. At an art walk, I've done art crawls until they disallowed me. Because apparently I don't make my own beads, so I'm not art enough to be in that one anymore.
That's silly.
Yeah, that committee is a little weird. they decided I couldn't do it anymore.
Good grief.
Yeah, but I when I first went into a gallery, it was like, holy crap. Because I could look at someone else who made comparable beaded items and wire wrap things, and I know all the materials. I know what it cost to make. I know how much time that took. Sometimes it's not made as well as mine, and they're charging like $60 for a necklace. That, even with my labor included, I might charge $25 for. And having to jack up my own prices. But I mean, you have to, and there's in a place like that, the space you're in matters. It's a lot different at, like, people are walking down the street with money and you're on a table outdoors than if they're going into an art gallery.
So or any specific, like, specific place. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to sit there longer. So it's tricky to learn the pricing, but you have to know your audience and know your place. I mean, know what you're trying to accomplish. And yeah, and if it's not, if it's a permanent place and you're local, don't piss off all the other artists. It's kind of like the musicians around here. They talk to each other and they agree that they all are going to ask for this certain amount. And, you know, once in a while, you get someone like, you know, I'll play for half of what that guy does. Don't be that guy.
Mm. Yeah, don't.
You'll wreck it for everyone. There are people who this is their livelihood with crafts as well as, you know, music.
It was actually interesting as a little aside. When I was signing up for Artist Alley, it actually had a section in the sign up form that was like, do you have somebody that you want to sit next to? Like,
oh,
so it's
smart.
So I think I'm about to be, cause last year I had a vendor table and nobody told me that I should have been in Artist Alley because they wanted the $600 that I paid rather than the $200 for Artist Alley. But that's neither here nor there. I can't really fault them for that. I didn't know better. I didn't know better. So now I'm going to be in the quote unquote, you know, correct place, where all the handmade and the artists are. But it was just very interesting to me. I have a feeling that I'm going to, I know a couple people that have tables. It's just, I wasn't like, whatever. I'll sit whoever I sit next to, but I have a feeling I'm going to be making friends and making connections in this new community. So.
Yeah. Oh, and that can be really key with this kind of stuff. I know in the gallery I was enclosed, you know, with someone who had seen my work there that asked me to come into a new shop they opened, you know, and, being in those places and doing the art crawl. And that was nice. That was like a cheap table. It was like a $20 table or something. And then when they wouldn't let me be an artist anymore, a local shop let me just set up a table in their shop during the crawl. So I wasn't in the program, but I had a space with my stuff. You know, sometimes you gotta cheat. But it's not like I was taken away from anybody. I mean, somebody came from another town to get my stuff.
Yeah.
So whatever, they probably bought stuff from other artists too. I hope so. So you guys both craft on the internet. And that's another thing I'd love to hear from both of you about. And Jackie does performances with her crafts on the internet. That's pretty cool.
Well, mostly just the videos. So far, it's been sock puppet because I've been hoarding onto my claymation stuff. I got various people sitting around here. I got this one dude here working on. And actually, by the way, I'm so glad I was on this episode with you guys because I have been taking notes from what you guys have been saying because I've never tried to sell my crafts. And what I have done recently is I was showing off my little finger puppets. These are, you know, Diamond Club related things. This is Brian Brushwood's Mr. Happy Pants that he does at his magic shows. And then, of course, the Ad Dragon. I'm making the Captain Morgan.
Ad Dragon. I don't know Mr. Happy Pants. So at Vegas, I got to get me one of the Mad Dragons at least.
Okay. Absolutely. Actually, I might be sending them to you. But... But my idea with this is I now have close to 75 of these two different characters made. And I'm going to, I'm going to make Captain Morgan, an Otfi, maybe even a Bryce Castillo one, because people thought that was a funny idea that I had a Bryce puppet, the producer of Night Attack. But my point is that I want these puppets and I want to take these to some of the cons and then give them out to everyone. Everyone gets one. Because I feel like, you know, there's a lot of things about research I've done, in entrepreneurship for my own personal real life work, which is unrelated to this completely. It has to do with public records and government access and all that stuff. A lot of the advice that I received was you've got to be willing to do some things for free in order to get to that point. And so I'm still in that phase, which now I'm starting to doubt myself on. I'm starting to doubt whether that's a good decision or not, because it has become very time consuming for me to do some of the stuff. And there's no, I mean, I have a Patreon, but like there, I don't really get the kind of, I mean, I feel like it would be very rewarding to have someone pay me for something someday. And the other lesson I do know for my own personal work is exactly what you said, Linda, that don't undercharge for your time.
Mm-hmm.
And like that was a big thing for me starting my own personal business. And how do I set up a contract? Because it was hard for me to tell people, well, you know, if you want me to come in and set up a public records program for you, it's going to cost you, you know, $100 an hour or something. I thought, no way. Nobody wants to hear from me that long. But that is definitely a thing. And I think it's very important, because maybe doing some of this stuff for free, well, yeah, hey, it reminds people, hey, I'm the crazy puppet lady. What kind of good am I getting out of that? You know, like, how is it going to help me in the long run?
You have to be real careful with that, too, because, you know, you can't do too much for free. The whole thing where I've seen
then people expect multiple... It?
Yeah, the whole thing where I've seen people talking about, you know, well, if you do this for free, it'll give you get you exposure. It's like, no, I exposure is dying of cold in the wilderness. I don't need that.
I'm writing that down.
That's a common thing in musicians. They're like, no, exposure is something you die of.
Yes.
But I would advise, it is a good, like, having promo items when you're starting something, but...
Well, actually, I can show you something. It has to do with puppetry.
Okay.
When they started the puppetry track, and I can actually reach it.
Uh-huh. Which I will participate in any other time I ever go to Dragon Con ever again. I won't make that mistake again.
But when they started the puppetry track, one of the gals that was in the show had these little critters that she was giving out. I still have mine. He's got a little face on him. And it's a real simple little puppet, but it was like $10, and I was super willing to pay $10 for this little guy. So it's like, you know, I don't know how much work went into this. I'm very sure it was more than $10 worth, but you know, for her promo item, she still charged for it, but I was very willing to pay for it, because it's obvious that a lot of love was put into this little guy.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to have promo items, I would still charge for them, even if it's not as much as you might charge for a normal item.
Okay.
The other thing is always attach your name to the product somehow. Like, whether it's like a tag or with a logo, a mini business card, something where they can find you again.
I thought that I was brilliant the other day, and I realized I need to put a little tag underneath that says, Jackie Hearn loves you, or something.
Yep. Yes, business something. Cards.
Yeah, but I didn't. I thought that was brilliant to think of it, but obviously not. Obviously, I haven't thought this much through.
Or if you put, well, we've done it, so.
Yeah, thank you for the schooling, because this is very, very beneficial to
me. And draw little, like, pictures for, instead of a logo, like, draw little pictures of your finger puppets with your contact info on a card. That way, when those things get separated, when you give it all away, later they remember, they can see, oh, that's where I got that from. And then they can go find you for what they want. So that the other way to give away free stuff without being totally for free, but everybody is a raffle. And I know I had... I've done this.
I did that last year.
Like when I had a jewelry table.
I loosely do that on my Patreon.
Yeah, those big rolls of raffle tickets.
Really, really bad not keeping up with that, you know.
Those big rolls of raffle tickets are cheap. I think I bought one I've been using for like 10 years at Staples for $17 or something. And
I got mine from Staples too.
And when people are if you're somewhere
where Staples,
where you're tabling, people are entering and entering and entering to win stuff constantly. And mm-hmm. you can generate a lot of a contact list that way. Or mm-hmm. Just make back. I mean, I gave away a necklace and earrings that matched. You know, and I sold raffle tickets for $1. I'll make sure it's legal in your state. So I was able to make back the cost of the item with my time, even though I was giving something away, and people filling it out are spending time looking at your wares while they're standing there and yeah. drawing more people because there's a crowd.
The only thing that I would do different this year that I'm going to do is I'm going to put my my business card with their ticket. So, because I was just giving out tickets last year, and I made back the amount that I would have charged for the item. So that was cool. But then I was like, oh, I could have given them my business card so they had it. But I was a little frazzled last year.
Well, I always have the card in with the item I give away, of course.
Yeah.
And I usually also have a clipboard with a sign-up list.
I was getting their names and a phone number so that I could text them when they won. Because it's a convention, mm-hmm. and so they'd be wandering. So it'd be like, okay, just give me a phone number that can accept texts.
Yeah.
And I will text you if you have won.
And they can put on the ticket and just the number and feel comfortable giving you that information as well. Because some people don't want to give you all their information.
Yeah.
And the card and a ticket might get separated.
I did tell them that the draw, like what time the drawing would be. So if they wanted to be there in person, they could be.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody was actually physically there for the drawing. They all were fine with just giving a textable number and then going, flitting off and being in the convention.
Yeah, I usually collect emails on a clipboard so they can kind of also do that. And then they know, like, I'm not going to bother them unless they signed up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know for the work, the real life, in real life work, as I call it, I do, it's been hard to manage emails because I don't want to be, you know, removed permanently for spam. So, you know, it's tricky to find ways to create a solid contact base, you know, because you think you know somebody wants to hear from you, but they don't, you know. And actually, like, you guys have given me some great ideas, because now I'm thinking, you know, what I could do is, because I have wanted to, and I will be wanting to in the next couple months, because some of the stop motion stuff I'm doing, I will want to push my YouTube. So I could say, hey, you're in front of me. Would you like a finger puppet? All you have to do is go on your phone right now and subscribe to my YouTube.
Yeah, that's also a really good, you know, idea. Like, yeah, I was doing that with my Facebook last year. It's like, you know, you can go online and like me on Facebook, and I will post up the new things that I make,
mm-hmm.
which I need to post up those hats that I made because I keep forgetting.
Well, Nerdtacular last year, I made business cards up that had Geek Girls on one side and the Part-Time Gamers on the other side. And Jen had stickers made, our little round stickers. Mine's... I need a new one myself.
Awesome.
And so I was handing, hey, want a sticker? Take my card. And so many people just went to their phone and subbed to the podcast at that point. So that was another nifty. I mean, it's crafting if you consider that Lunescence had, she designed our logo, right?
So, yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's actually, crafting.
It is definitely crafty. It's, that kind of design is in demand, too.
Mm-hmm.
I know that.
Crafty and crafty. Or crafty and crafty. Yeah. I don't know what I thought I was onto something there. I wasn't.
So anything either you want to say about when you're online, what has been important? Because you guys both do creative streams where you're making something, whether it's, mm-hmm. you know, advice of... lighting type of camera, what did you learn was really important for your audience to do that kind of thing live?
You want to go first, or?
The biggest thing I've actually been learning is that, so I was using some royalty-free music for mm-hmm. the background for myself, and, like, it's not that I was using the same, tracks over and over again, but I was getting them from the same YouTube thing because my Spotify, I'm not a premium member, so it kept playing commercials, and it really annoyed the heck out of me. So I was using YouTube to, and it was the one YouTube channel that was, I think it's audio file. I'm not sure what it's called, or audio source or something, but like they started sounding all the same to me because it's all that kind of poppy, you know, background sound. And finally I just like last night I was like, you know what? I'm going to start playing classical. We're going to have crocheting and classical.
I thought, yes, yeah. I was actually going to recommend, because I'm an archivist by trade, and I was actually kind of involved, or at least in some workshops where at the formation of archive.org. But archive.org is a huge, great source for public domain. And I've even been trying to play movies in the corner, like Casablanca is public domain. So we watched Casablanca while I made something. But to me, that has been the hardest part, because when I'm really creating something, I feel like I have to entertain these people. And I don't know how to do that. And I just come across sounding very awkward and weird. And people feel sorry for me. And they're like, well, I gotta go.
It was like, why am I listening to this poppy, samey sounding stuff when I can listen to things that I like? Because, you know, I'm classically trained musician, so these are all pieces that I know. And so I was like, you know what, we're gonna have ridiculously overdramatic music while I'm crocheting. Let's put on some Dvorak Symphony No. 9. And I was just like, all right. And you know what? It was helpful. It helped me. He's almost done. He doesn't have his tail yet, but he's almost done. Oh. My little Charmeleon. His head is so big. I don't know if the pattern's right. But anyway.
Actually, it looks right. The Pokemon proportions are weird.
Yeah. I'm hoping when the tail goes on and the belly like is all sewn on and his eyes are on, he'll look fine. It's just, at the moment, he's half done, and it looks a little weird.
He looks really Deadpool-y right now. But
yeah, so going back to what I've learned is that if I have to kind of enjoy what I'm listening to get into the correct, like, because there have been a couple of streaming days, because I've tried to keep myself to a schedule, and there have been a couple of streaming days where I'm like, I just don't, fine. Then the music helps. So
cool.
That's really good to know what you're using, because that's my number one problem. And you know, and most of the time when I'm making something, like working on something, I'm binge watching Breaking Bad for the 15th time, you know, or something else that I can't play. You know, I binge watch stuff far too much. Like, I should probably go seek professional help. Like, I have a theory that in like 5 years there'll be a whole like a mental health recovery program for people who binge watch way too much TV. This is just too much TV.
Well, my husband will be right there with you.
But that's when I get the, because I mean, rather than just sit there and watch something and absorb it, I would rather be working on something. And I can't work on my real life stuff because it takes a lot of thought and I can't be distracted. So, you know, and I don't know, that's one of the things I love about making or creating stuff is that, I don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of stories about how it helps with depression, and I, like everybody else, we've all got problems. You know, I definitely suffer from depression, so it's something for you to look forward to. It's a positive, constructive thing that you can do, and so if I were just watching, you know, Better Call Saul or Black Mirror without like doing something, I think I would feel worse about myself.
Yeah, I think it is great for mental health when you come away with something having created a thing. It is just fantastic. Yeah. So the advice out there I think a big takeaway from this is I do know streamers who have have been banned for it, have had their casts silenced. So be careful about, you want to have music or video that you're allowed to use, that licensed to use in whatever way, and that you enjoy to keep your stream entertaining for yourself, because then you're more entertaining for your audience. Anyone else out there have ideas, constructive criticism, questions that we might be able to answer with the experiences we have that are quite varied? Please feel free to chime in by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com or giving us a ring at 504-474-5577. So,
508-474-5577.
Sorry.
We should need to turn that into a jingle. 508-474-5577. That doesn't quite ring on tip of the tongue, but yeah.
We'll figure it out. So, girls, what are you most anticipating coming up? Jackie?
My cat, I keep telling everyone on the internet who knows me, has seen him walk around. He's been dying now for 5 years. Because I keep telling people he's dying. But he actually has. I've spent a lot of money to keep him alive. He is going to be turning 19 years old officially sometime in the month of April, because we don't ever really know when these pets are born. But when my ex and I adopted him, we gave him the birthday of a 420. See where we were at the time, right? But I'm really excited that he has made it and he's still doing okay. And I'm glad that, you know, spending that last $1,000 on medical bills for him was worth it. You know, but I mean, he's going to go at some point, but I feel like 19, that's pretty impressive for a cat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also very excited about seeing Isle of Dogs. Which is going to be, it's a stop motion film by Wes Anderson. I like Wes Anderson films, and of course I like stop motion, so I'm really excited to see this. Cool. Dare I say it? I'm a DC person, but I'm looking forward to Infinity War.
I think a lot of people are, so.
But that was the one thing that kept me away from Marvel, was the constant, like, wars and every Civil War and war beyond the next war and war to equal the all wars and war to end the next war, which will come out next year and next spring, if you know. But I'm still excited about it, and I think it all 100% has to do with how much I love Black Panther. But yeah, that's me.
Cool. How about you, Linda?
Well, like I said, my parents have, even though their house is technically smaller, their entertainment space seems to be infinitely bigger because it's open plan. So we're going to have Easter dinner over at their house with all of the in-laws and outlaws and all that.
Every family has an outlaw.
Yeah. And Mom's super excited about it too, because she never really got to host any of the big family things, because our house, I love our old house, but it was very segmented and it had small rooms. But now she's got like a huge kitchen, which I am totally jealous of. And it goes right into like the family room, and she's super like having fun decorating with that. I'm gonna help her with that Thursday night when I go visit. So that is kind of the big thing coming up. I don't know if my cousin's going to be there or not, but it's his birthday the same day, because he was born on April 1st. So he may be, if he's there, we'll also celebrate his birthday along with Easter.
Oh. Does the celebration include a lot of pranks?
I mean, that's up to his family.
That's, fair enough.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned about 420 there, Jackie, because next month we do have the Geek Grills 2-year anniversary coming up. We had initially talked a lot about when we celebrate our anniversary. Is it going to be at by number of episodes, like we did with, or when we actually published the first episode, which we did our first year, right? Every time we were in our tech year, it was like, we've been doing it for a year. Like, and we did 50 episodes in a year. We only, like, missed 2 weeks. One was, like, a holiday. So it was really, we got all this great feedback about, like, I mean, Scott Johnson was like, you did what? Like, you did 50 in a year? Like, that's really a great start. Like,
yes.
Yes, we kept at it. But in looking at this year and our second year, I had been renewing stuff. And it turns out that when I think it wasn't until end of May, beginning of June, we actually published, got the episode out. But the night it was born, the night we stayed up all night drinking wine after playing games online, and I went and bought the URL, it was 420.
That's usually how those things happen.
I was going to renew on Squarespace.
Oh,
and I was like,
awesome.
Let's just call 420 our anniversary because the meme, right? Like, that's so internet, and we'll always remember. I'm looking forward to this week. The new Doomsday Clock will be out tomorrow, I think. But I'll probably pick it up Friday because payday. And, they'll probably be closed the holiday. Well, anyway, yeah. Doomsday Clock and the latest WoW Chronicle should be arriving that I ordered ahead of time. And I was in the comic book store last week, and they're like, next week. I was like, Doomsday Clock. And, of course, I'm really looking forward to getting some pictures from the Gen on the beaches in the Caribbean. So that'll be fantastic. Remember,
folks, obviously I'm familiar with geography and I know where Belize is, but I had to look it up earlier today. And I wish I hadn't done that. It is so beautiful. Man. Yeah. I can't wait to hear her stories too and see her photos.
Mm-hmm. Remember, folks, you can always come back and watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
So, by the way, I'm so honored that you guys asked me to sort of guest host. I don't know what I did. I don't know if I did it right, if I did well. you guys have definitely been supportive of me, but if you like this show, you should definitely go and support this great show like I do. I'm a proud supporter on Patreon. Go to www.patreon.com/grills. And so thank you to all the patrons who have been helping so far. And remember, your feedback is always welcome. So make sure, there's comments in there at the posts. After when they post something, just go ahead and say hello, say something, let them know how they're doing, give them advice on things that could help increase the Patreon or make it more something that you want to be a part of, because you are part of it. You are the bosses. You're the people that keep this show going. And just for the encouragement, guys, we all need a little bit of encouragement when we're doing these podcasts. So there's a contest update, and I might need some help from you guys, gals, about with this. But there are still codes to give away, so make sure you get in there for our next few listeners that sign up on Patreon. So sign up on Patreon. You might get a free code. For the list of game codes available, make sure to check out geekgirls.com.
Grills.
I was like, ooh, I'm totally nailing this. Yeah, like, giving some little inside.
Speaking of which, Mikio,
geekgrills.
Give us your address. We want to send you your swag.
Yes.
Come on. Take it.
And if you want to help support us without spending money, there is a free way to do so. You can go onto your podcast catcher and leave us a review. 5-star, please. Or whatever, but leave us a review, and it'll help other people find us. It'll bump us up a little bit in the ratings. So that'll be an easy. Well, depending on your catcher, it's an easy way to freely help us. You can also join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and help us spread the word there.
So where can we find you, Grills, on the interwebs?
So you can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast, and you can find me streaming on Twitch under the name True Noob. That's TRUN00B. That's where I do my plushy streams. And, you know, I have Friday off. I might stream a game on Friday. I'm debating. I think I might. I might stream some Slime Rancher, maybe.
Excellent. You know, I'm at JackieHearn81 on Twitter, which is where you can find whatever I'm doing anytime I'm on a show. I usually go to Twitter, tweet that out. But I'll be on Else Nerds, which is a great podcast, too. You should check that out. You can find them on youtube.com/Else Nerds, I believe. It's part of the Galactic Network franchise there. And I'll be on this Thursday. And I should be wrapping up season 4, finally, of Black Mirror. I mean, Black Mirror came out season 4 all in one day. I had it done within 3 hours, and yet we're still podcasting on it. But we will have that done either tomorrow or sometime in the next week. So, but you can find all of that by going to my Twitter, Jackie Hearn, at JackieHearn81.
Hey, The Jen can be found at The Jen Says on Twitter and streaming at twitch.tv, TheJen/TheJenPlays.
And having a great time in Belize.
And
that's not on the internet. Unless there's a new gig she's got we don't know about.
I can be reached at 9of12. It's NINEOF12 on Twitter and on Twitch. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game.
GG.
Enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech? Leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.
Oh, wait. Thing.
Oh, no.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.